On To The Point, we try to make sense of the policy debates and the political sideshows on the campaign trail.
Ted Cruz wrapping the bacon around the semi-automatic weapon to cook it.
I understand that trade is not a sexy issue.
Nobody knows where the Republican Party is going to land. I mean, it's kind of like a country road. No one knows where it will end.
In many ways, Marco Rubio is the Michael Jordan of American politics.
I'm Warren Olney. To The Point has you covered for the 2016 campaign. Find the To The Point podcast on KCRW's iTunes page.
From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. One of the things I like so much about my guest, Randall Park, is that he has a facility for conveying character through voice. If you've seen him do Danny Chung on Veep, you know who Danny is from the minute he opens his mouth. And if you've seen his newest venture, Lewis, where he plays the dad on Fresh Off the Boat, you know that guy as soon as he speaks as well. Randall, first of all, thanks so much for being here.
It's an honor to be here. I'm a big fan of The Treatment.
Yeah, you're the one, so it's nice to have you here. We'll get this out of the way now. But talk to me about, because so much of the stuff you've done, I think about just seeing you this summer in Trainwreck. Mm-hmm. Or a lot of the way you approach character is through voice and through the way people sometimes really want to be heard. Mm-hmm. And that character in Trainwreck is just kind of like trying to keep his job, not saying a whole lot. But, I mean, that kind of articulation shows that you're really a listener to people.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I never really thought of that as far as how I use my voice. It just kind of happens when I play the character, you know. But I've always been told that I have an interesting voice. It's both deep and very high at the same time. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but that's, I guess it is a big part of how these characters come off.
Because we were talking before we got started, and we can still talk about it here as far as I'm concerned, is hip-hop, and Fresh Off the Boat being the story of Eddie Huang, his memoir turned into a sitcom. That character, I mean, the idea of coming to a new city and the thing that really sort of keeps you centered is, as a little kid, trying to be a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that cartoonish idea of being a man that comes from hip-hop.
Yes, for sure.
And if you read the memoir, I mean, Lewis is kind of OG in his way anyway.
That's right. I mean, the character in the show is different.
Yes.
But one thing when I read the memoir, And with the show, is I really identify with Eddie as far as my own upbringing. You know, I grew up not too far from, I grew up in West LA, right near here. Okay. I went to Hamilton High School, right near, right near the studio. And hip hop was such a big part of my upbringing and definitely a way to kind of create this or identify with this kind of sense of what it means to be a man. You know, same thing with the WWF. These were things that I grew up. And yeah, sure, they were at times cartoonish, you know, but they definitely, I was addicted to those things growing up.
Well, gee, Randall, I'd never say cartoonish to your face. But one of the things that we're talking about hip-hop in so many different ways, I mean, you think about all those voices coming out of hip-hop.
Yeah.
The difference, you know, between DJ Quick or Tribe Called Quest or N.W.A. or Nas. I mean, everybody was different, you know?
And, yeah, that's right. That's
or
right.
Razz Kaz, or all these guys who...
Razz Kaz, wow, you just went deep.
See? I'm not playing here.
But you Carson, know. Yeah.
But all those guys use, to me, it was almost like the way stand-up, really great stand-up used voice and momentum and velocity. And
yeah, no doubt.
Some part of you must have absorbed the way that those voices are being used.
I think so. Yeah, kind of like what you were saying earlier. It's like as soon as you hear their voice, you kind of have a sense of what they represent, you know. And I mean, as soon as you hear Chuck D., it's like you know what he stands for and who he is and how powerful a presence he is, you know. And I guess those things must have just kind of seeped into me, I guess, in terms of how I act in different roles.
Because I guess it's funny to me whenever the characters you play, like I was thinking back to 5-Year Engagement, they get angry.
Yeah.
The pitch of the voice changes. I mean, that's sort of like trying to keep it down.
Yeah.
Like it just went up. And were there people who you sort of struck out to you in terms, as comedians in terms of voice or actors whose things you think you may have absorbed in some way?
Gosh, you know, I don't, I never thought of it in terms of voice, but there were definitely always actors that I was just naturally drawn to. You know, my favorite actors were like Jack Lemmon John C. Reilly and Steve Carell, kind of these more kind of character, I guess, guys who could do drama and comedy. Those were guys who, those were ones that I really tend to gravitate towards, but I never thought of it in terms of just voice. But yeah, that's interesting.
Because those guys you're talking about are guys who, at some point, I mean, they do these shifts, and sometimes the voice shifts. And you can sort of...
That's true, yeah.
As John C. Reilly, you can hear the excitement or the fear in the voice. Or Jack Lemmon is exasperation.
Yes.
Or Steve Carell, who you work with on The Office.
That's right. And I did a small part in Dinner for Schmucks, and I got to meet him on that set, and that was a real joy.
What was that like? I mean, because he's somebody who's, again, a serious actor studied as an actor who recognizes that, you know, comedy and drama join.
Yeah, I mean, I barely talked to him because I was barely in the movie, but I was really nervous around him because he's such a hero of mine, and he just, from talking to him, he would just talk about his family and the kids, and that it was really nice to see that side of him. You know, he's kind of just a family man, and it's kind of how I feel I am too. I'm really a family guy who loves to do this, and this is my job, and then I come home and just hang out with my kid.
Because I think of this as being, for you, this a real kind of Californian thing. So even in your Kim Jong-un, he basically is sort of like, and that is sort of, to me, the ultimate sort of intersection of comedy and melodrama.
Yeah,
I mean, because he is that voice, and just that look in his eye when James Franco...
yeah.
It's not just the voice. It's not just the talk about Katy Perry, but the look, kind of starstruck look in his eye that he's trying to suppress.
Sure.
Was kind of astonishing to watch.
Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, that came directly from watching that show Vice, and they had an episode where Dennis Rodman they followed Dennis Rodman to North Korea, and knowing how big of a basketball fan Kim Jong-un was, watching him actually see Dennis Rodman for the first time and shake his hand, and if you watch closely, he can't even look Dennis Rodman in the eye. He's so nervous. He's looking away, you know. And that was something that I could really identify with and hold on to and use for the character. Yeah.
Because I see a little bit of that somewhat, too, in Lewis, who plays the part when he's at the restaurant with everybody. He's playing the boss.
Yeah, for sure.
And then when his wife shows up, he's not playing
the boss anymore.
Yeah. Because I like that idea for you that, you're able to play these guys as kind of compartmentalization. Because even when we see sort of going back to Veep, we see Danny like not in front of the microphones. He's a different guy.
Yeah.
You tend to play these guys so often as people who, again, are kind of compartmentalized.
Yeah. I never thought of it like that, but that's so true. It's a way for these people to be in their profession and then how they really are. You know, even with Danny Chung, it's like, yeah, there's definitely, he's a politician. It's similar to Kim Jong-un. There's this air of authority, and it kind of cracks, and you see every now and then see the real person inside, and there's insecurity there, just like me in real life. There's a lot of insecurity.
What was your first thought about when you got that part, when you talked to Armando and those guys about the show playing Danny on Veep? What was your first take on him?
Well, you know, I he shows up in the first season, and I think originally it was supposed to be a one-off. I think that was the original plan. And so I really thought of, you know, oh, I'm just doing a guest star spot. I'm going to come in. And, you know, my take on him was that he was this kind of like Obama before he became president, you know, like not long after his speech at the convention. You know, he was this kind of hot, young, promising politician who knows how to play the game, but at the same time is extremely likable, you know, and connected to the youth, and a thorn in Selena's side, you know, and that's really all I had going in. And I've heard in interviews that Armando really, you know, he liked the fact that I was so likable, you know, the character was so likable. And then, you know, as I did more episodes, you kind of like him a little less.
But even in that, and I wonder where this came from for you, even in that first episode, he's aware that he's younger than everybody else.
Yeah.
He's aware that he's the rising star.
Yeah.
I mean, so again, there's that kind of canniness about him was, for me, always there. And I wonder if you saw that in him right away.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Even the kind of his connection to youth culture was something that it wasn't necessarily in that first episode, but it was something that I thought about with the character. And you kind of see it later, even his kind of affinity for hip hop and his beatboxing skills. If you remember that. I mean, not great beatboxing skills, but great for Capitol Hill.
He's the best rapper in that room.
But just that ability to really be a people person, you know, and to connect with people in a cool and, I guess, kind of hip way.
But that as when you said that idea of somebody still trying to do beatboxing at this point now basically shows that he was the most superficial fan.
Yes,
who
for
hasn't
sure.
really who hasn't really kept his thing in the game.
He didn't know about Razzcast or anything.
I'm impressed that you do. Well, let's talk about Lewis a little bit. How did you, when you first read the memoir fresh off the boat, what did you think of him? Because as you're saying, he's a different guy that.
You know, I got him. I got him when I read about the real Lewis. And I met the real Lewis.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I met the real Lewis. I think it was once we got picked up to series after, after we shot the pilot, we got picked up to series. We hadn't shot a single episode of the season yet outside of the pilot. Me and Constance Wu, who plays Jessica, and our producers flew to Orlando to meet the actual family. And when meeting Lewis and knowing about him in the book, it was fascinating. He's a real complex guy, but also a really, really just personable person. You know, he took us on a tour of Orlando and showed us the old Cattleman's Ranch, which is now a Hooters.
No, really?
Yeah. and just seeing all these people kind of come out the woodwork while we were standing in front of this Hooters from neighboring businesses and shaking his hand and just seeing, wow, this guy is really a man of the people, you know. And obviously from reading the book, at home, he's a little different, or he was a little different, at least while Eddie was growing up. But that was something that I really held on to when approaching this character. I mean, this guy, he is a man of the people, you know. I guess like Chung, too, you know. There's that sense that people like him, you know, even though inside there's a lot more going on.
But the way you play him, and this relates to these other characters we were talking about here, we get a sense that Lewis is kind of inventing himself as he goes along.
Yeah.
Which I like, that's showing that side of it.
Yeah. He's really just trying to figure it all out. I mean, ultimately, it comes from love. Yeah, ultimately, he loves his family, and that's the main thing. More than anything, he loves his family. So he wants this journey to Orlando to be a positive one for everybody, because he was the impetus for it. He's the reason why the whole family had to move from Washington, D.C. and the comforts of home and Chinatown. You know, he's opening up this restaurant in Orlando, so he has to take everybody with him. And I think when he sees everybody kind of struggling, he feels like he has to kind of put on this air of, no, it's great, you know, everything's great, you know, in the face of his family struggling. And also the worry of being a small business owner and also an immigrant small business owner.
And one of the people of color in that neighborhood.
In the whole neighborhood and you know, and each of the members of the family kind of adjust their own way. But I think Lewis's way is to really, put on that air of, no, this is great. This is great. We're getting along with everybody, and we're going to succeed.
We'll take a break. I'll continue to pretend like I know what I'm doing. My guest is Randall Park, whose newest work, he's starring as Lewis in the show, Fresh Off the Boat on ABC. It's The Treatment. There's more to come. Stay with us.
Browse the KCRW store and shop for vacations, wine classes, frequent flyer miles, dinners, and merchandise. Shop to support KCRW only at kcrw.com/store.
Welcome back. I'm figuring what to ask my guest, Randall Park, is the treatment. We know him now from his latest role as Lewis on Fresh Off the Boat. And we're saying, so what is the first thing you do when you take on a character?
The first thing I do is just define the sides of me and my experience that I identify that can apply to the character and see the sides of the character that can apply to me, and I hold on to those things, you know. For example, with Kim Jong-un, I had done a ton of research, and one thing I learned was that when he was a student in international school, he would sit there at his desk just doodling pictures of Michael Jordan, you know, because he was such a huge fan of the NBA, and he... And he loved Michael Jordan. And this is like things that I did growing up, you know, just that.
Well, we know that you actually went out and bought a Cherokee because you would.
That's right. It was a Wrangler, first off.
Forgive my imprecision. Go ahead, Black, lay it down for me.
Yeah, as a kid, I loved New Jack City and Wesley Snipes. Nino Brown would drive around New York City in a Jeep, and I thought it was that was the coolest thing.
It was the dopest.
It was the dopest thing.
It was the dopest.
It was the dopest thing. So the day I was able to get my first car, I bought a used Jeep Wrangler, and I did not look nearly as cool driving that thing. It was.
So you didn't have a da-da-da man in the backseat with a machine gun?
No. Most of the time, the Jeep was on the side of the road with me trying to figure out how to get this thing moving. Yeah. It was, and then also Russell Wong was in that movie.
That's
and,
right.
And as soon as I saw Russell Wong, I was like, cool. They got an Asian in the movie.
So you were the Russian Wong.
Russell Wong of
the West Coast. Then yeah. you would make it happen like that. But I mean,
yeah, I mean, whenever I saw an Asian in anything growing up, it was like so exciting. Yeah, because he rarely saw it.
Okay, you must have remembered seeing All American Girl for the first time.
Of course, yeah. That was a big, big deal. Yeah, and I remember seeing it, and I remember all the controversy surrounding it. You know, some people loved it and were just happy that it in the community, happy that it existed. Other people in the community were really upset with it because they felt like it didn't, you know, reflect their lives you know, the whole Margaret Cho's whole, she's been explicit about her experience with that and all things that, you know, when our show came out 20 years later, we kind of had to deal with too, to a lesser degree, I guess. But I did feel like something was off. It definitely was not the Margaret Cho that I saw on stage, you know.
Oh, no, there definitely wasn't that. I mean, it was... It was almost like the ABC Family version of that.
Yeah. And you know, I learned later just through Margaret that, yeah, they kind of took over and took control of her, you know, and basically watered her down. So it was disappointing that it only lasted a season.
So, but now you've got an experience. You got Melvin Marr, who's on the show, and Anacha Khan. You're surrounded by people who have an experience similar to yours.
Yes.
So you're not like Margaret, who had to basically fight that battle by herself.
Yeah. It's it's definitely a reason why our show is successful. I think you know, Ninotchka Khan, who's in my estimation is a genius, and just her sensibilities, but also her experience, her family experience, and also, you know, and that bleeds into the writers that she hires in the writers' room. I mean, we have the most diverse writers' room, and I think that really, you know, it ensures that our show is going to, for an ABC sitcom, going to have at least some level of authenticity and sensitivity. Yeah.
It's the treatment. I'm talking to the Russell Wong of Fresh Off the Boat. Randall Park. I'm sure you got a couple of purple big shoulder suits sitting somewhere. But as we're talking about this, I wonder, because you've done there's so much great stuff you can go see on YouTube or see you do your stuff on stage. If you are a little bit nervous about doing TV for some of these things we're talking about, that, you know, things do get hemmed in.
And you know,
you've got to work with Seth and Evan. And with the director of 5 Year Engagement, who put you in front of those guys when...
Nick Stoller, yeah.
Nick was on the show, and Natchka's done the show, too. And, you know, just all these people who offer you a chance to really do the kind of things you can do. TV's a very different animal. And I wonder for somebody who's worked the way you have, and you have to make a living at this, I understand that.
Yeah.
But if the idea of doing serious TV was kind of a scary thing for you, just knowing Margaret's experience, but also knowing what TV does to performance.
Yeah, it was a really scary thing. You know, as soon as I found out that our pilot got... picked up the series, I had a panic attack. Because I for a lot of reasons, you know, because I didn't know what the show... I loved the pilot. I loved everything about it. I loved everybody involved with the show. But I just... I didn't fully know, number one, like, my place in it as far as, like, the series, as far as, you know, could I play this character for how many years the show could possibly go for? Could I keep, you know, because I was so used to kind of doing these one-offs and doing these, you know. On top of that, just the, you know, I'm a Korean-American actor playing the role of a Taiwanese-Chinese character, and I felt weird about that, you know, because we're so used to Asian characters being whitewashed, you know, and that's such a big issue in our community. Like, gosh, this, why is Emma Stone playing a character with the last name Aang, you know, or Ing, you know, things like that. But, and you know, to me, it was like, well, was it any different for a Korean-American actor to be playing Louis Wong, you know? So those were issues for me that I had early on, and things that, you know, I had to work through. For sure, and get myself to a place where, okay, once we start shooting, I have to love this character. I have to love what I'm doing. I have to feel good about it. And I got myself to that place, and now I really love Lewis. I love playing him. I'm having so much fun.
It's probably too the thing you were talking about, of finding these ways to make him feel closer to you instead of inventing this person.
For sure. When we first started the season, it was more, you know, I was thinking more in terms of how do I fit into this character? How do I, I met the real guy. So how do I fit into this Lewis? But over time I found, you know, how do we kind of dance together? You know, how do I bring myself to this character? How do I bring the character to me? And it became more of this kind of organic approach. And I think the character has evolved a little bit since the pilot, and I've gotten more comfortable playing him, and now it's like just so fun for me.
Well, even in the recent episode where the convention episode.
Oh yeah.
Where they go to what looks like the world's one of the world's awfulest hotels. I mean. And that spot, which is basically a bunch of guys sitting in what looks like a wading pool with a motorboat engine drinking beer.
Exactly.
But still, there's this presentational aspect to him. And I just wonder, part of this for you, being so aware of a person of color, as you're saying, being a Korean-American, and then all the issues that come not wanting to be whitewashed.
Yeah.
The idea of playing somebody who is... playing something.
Becomes
a way that you made him feel closer to you.
I think so, for sure. It's definitely something I identify with, you know. I think a lot of people at work, you know, I mean, I am a positive person, for sure. And I think playing Lewis has helped me become even more positive, you know. but definitely, when I'm at work, I am really a lot more of a social person, and a lot more, you know, I love hanging out with the crew. I love just being kind of a man of the people at work, you know. But when I'm at home, I'm just like, a lot more private.
Yeah.
A lot more private. You know, I'm not like a big social media guy. I'm not, you know, it's hard for me to think of myself on that, you know, social kind of level when I'm not at work. You know, I'm a lot more shy just by nature.
What's the idea of playing these guys who use these voices and put on these characters and become these other people.
Yeah.
Where does that come from for you?
I don't know. I think it's what drew me to acting to begin with. I think because I am kind of by nature more of an introvert and more shy. You know, the first time I ever set foot on a stage and started saying lines, it was like so freeing for me.
What was the first thing you did?
It was when I was in college at UCLA.
Not far from here.
Not far. I have not left LA. But I kind of I discovered the theater through writing, through writing plays.
Oh.
Yeah. And that was what I kind of wanted to do, was write plays. But and me and a group of friends at UCLA, we were all playwrights, and we wanted to see our plays perform, so we decided to form this theater group, and we casted the plays, but there were always these little parts that needed to be filled, and we kind of just filled them ourselves, and it was there that I kind of first acted on stage.
Are you still writing plays?
No. I've been writing... I've been writing a lot of stuff for the web and making stuff, but then also I've been writing more features lately and trying my hand at pilots and stuff like that.
I wonder, because I guess that you would describe this place sounds a little bit like Our Town. Mm-hmm. You've got a narrator, but
yeah.
I just wondered if there was a model that you followed as a playwright. If there are playwrights whose work that you really
At that time, I don't even know if I had read a play in my life
that time. Yeah, have you been to plays, though?
I had been to a few, but, you know, not... none of us knew what we were doing. You know? We had no idea what we were doing, acting-wise or writing-wise. We literally just kind of fell into it. Since I've seen and read plenty of plays.
Of course.
But at that time, we were doing everything blind. And I think that was a part of it, too, what made it so exhilarating. We had no idea what we were doing, and we were making up the rules as we were going along and putting on that air that we belong there, even though we probably didn't, you know. But it was just so fun and freeing.
And did your family come to see you in the play?
No. It was really just in my mind at the time, just a hobby, and because they were not supportive of me pursuing that, they wanted me to go those traditional routes that a lot of immigrant parents want for their kids. You know, they come to this country, they sacrifice everything for their kids to become successful, you know, as a doctor or a lawyer, these kind of safer routes. And that was probably what they thought I was doing, when instead I was writing these really ridiculous plays and acting in them.
So do they watch the show?
Yeah, they love it. They love it. Yeah, they really love it. It's pretty great, because I feel like finally after, I don't know, 20-something years since that first play that I did, it's like they're really on board with me being an actor.
A scant 2 decades and another century later, not you're making money with it. It's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, time, Randall, you've got to come back. This has been so great having you here.
Elvis, seriously, it's been an absolute pleasure.
No, completely my pleasure. My guest, again, the Russell Wong of television. I just love saying that, because we're just the only two people here who know who this guy is. Randall Park, who's currently starring in Fresh Off the Boat on ABC, a recording engineer at NPR West, who I'm sure has no idea what we're talking about, is Patrick Murphy. The show is mixed by Kat Yor, edited by my associate producer, Blake Veit. I'm going to get my new jack on. It's The Treatment.
Shout out to Razzcast, brother.
To catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.